How many of you have ever played baseball? Let me see your hand if you ever played baseball. How many have ever played softball? You ever played softball? How many have ever seen a baseball game played? Maybe you hadn't played, but you watched. All right, you know the object of baseball or softball is to what? To get around the bases and to get all the way home. And for that reason, I want to share a message because I know Morgan played softball and several of the other ones played ball. And if we can think about it, how to hit a home run to heaven. How to hit a home run to heaven. And speaking of ball, life is kind of has some objects too. Life has an object, and the object of this life is to get to heaven. That's the object of this life. How many know that you're going to heaven? Let me see your hand. Okay, most of you raised your hand. A few of you are not really sure. And I tell you today, you need to nail that thing down because you do not, and I do not, have promise of tomorrow, this side of heaven. All right, speaking of baseball and speaking of ball, did you hear about the two brothers? I couldn't help but to think about the two brothers, Mo and Joe. They love baseball. They play baseball all the time. In fact, they said to each other, hey, if whoever dies first, if you go to heaven, let me know if there's baseball, if we get a chance to play baseball in heaven, according to the story. And so Mo died first, and Mo somehow or another was able to communicate to Joe back here on earth, and Joe said to Mo, said, well, Mo, is there baseball in heaven? Mo said, I've got good news, I got bad news. He said, well, what do you mean? Joe said to Mo, Mo was in heaven. He said, I got good news and bad news. And Joe said, well, tell me the good news. And so Mo said, the good news is, yes, there's baseball in heaven. And the weather is absolutely just beautiful all the time. Joe said, well, that's the good news. What's the bad news? Mo said, the bad news is you're scheduled to pitch tomorrow night up in heaven. You understand, don't you? Hey, look, every one of us need to go around three bases in order to get home. You can't go to third base first. You got to go to first base. Somebody say amen. You got to go to second base next, and you got to go third base. And then you come home run. I want to preach for a moment on the subject of how to hit a home run. Say that with me. How to hit a home run. Say it again. How to hit a home run to heaven. Now, I want to invite you, and I don't have much time. My time's really a lot gone this morning, so I'm going to have to try to summarize. But I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And can I just jump right into the message? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'll not labor the fact of how the Apostle Paul is writing this to the church of Thessalonica and the fact that he had been there only 3 weeks, and the fact that the central theme in this particular epistle is the faithfulness of the believers, and the fact that the second coming of Christ is absolutely the focal point of this, not only this epistle, but also 2 Thessalonians. And therefore, I want to draw your attention to verse 9 and 10, two verses as we think for a little while. You got to go to first base before you can go to second base, and then you got to go to third base before you can go to home plate. We find in the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you'd like to stand, you can. I want to read it, just two verses, and then get right into the message. Verse 9, Paul the Apostle, after he commends these believers, again, he had only been there 3 weeks, he writes his first epistle, and he encourages and commends the church for their faithfulness in spite of their affliction. And skip down to verse 9. If you're in verse 9, say amen. For they themselves show for us what manner of entering in we had unto you. I like this next part. Underline this. How ye, Paul said you, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I like that. He's talking about their change of lifestyle. Tell me something. Have you got a change of lifestyle? Have you turned from idols to turn to God? Are you serving yourself or serving the Lord? But keep reading, because, my, this is just one pile on another. I've preached from this text before, but not the same message. The Lord gave me this message just a few days ago. And notice verse 10, and to wait for his son from heaven. Paul says, you've turned from idols to God, and now you're serving the living God. But now you're waiting, look at verse 10, to wait for his son from heaven. Oh, yes, even so come, Lord Jesus. whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus. I like this last part, underline that. Which delivered us from the wrath to come. My, there's so much in these verses. I wish I had more time, but I don't. But I'm going to make use of the time God's given me to redeem the time, the days are evil. Let's pray now. Father, I love you today. Bless you today because of your love. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for rescuing me. I thank you for cleansing me with the washing of water by the word. I pray for those today that aren't sure, those that have really never by faith, those that have never been baptized, those that have never really cut loose from the idols of the world. Father, today would be a new day, a glorious day. And then those of us, Father, that are seemingly spinning our wheels, I pray for breakthroughs today, and your blessed Holy Spirit would be manifested in this place. And I ask you to cleanse me, fill me today. And get glory and honor. We thank you now for the blood. We thank you now for the cross. We thank you now for your word. We just look to you now to change us. And Lord, fill us and cleanse us and use us for your glory, we pray. When all said and done, we'll say to God be the glory. To you be the glory. Great things you've done. And we ask it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going in the message. You got to go to first base before you can go to second base. And that's the outline of the message, if you will. You got to go to first base before you can go to second base. And second base before you can go to third base. And third base before you can go to home plate. Well, what in the world is first base? First base is found in 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Here's first base. If you're going to make a home run to heaven, if when you die, you go to heaven. Then, number one, Paul said this, believers, Christians, you turned from idols. You turned to God. Look at verse 9. You turned to God from idols. There it is. That's first base. And you know that turning from idols, the word just leaps off the pages. You know what the word is? Change. You know what the word is? Repent. You know what that word repent is, by the way? It's the word metanoia. And the word metanoia means this. It's a change of heart. It's a change of direction. And it's kind of like going in one direction but turning in the other direction. Paul said, man, you are going in this life. I know that I've changed. I know that Jesus has made a difference. Listen to me. If you can live the same way without God in your life and there's not a change in your life, something's wrong. Repent. Repent. No wonder the Lord said this, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He's talking about a change of mind. He's talking about a change of heart. He's talking about a change of attitude. Hey, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all today would say, Pastor, I know I'm a Christian, but I sure do need a change of my attitude. I've been judgmental. Yeah. I've not been doing what I know I ought to do. I need a change today. It's not just going to first base, but it's afterwards as well. And speaking of that, you hear about Charlie Brown? He's out in the outfield. The ball, speaking of ball, was hit to him. And Charlie Brown says, I got it, mine. You know when you play ball, you call off the other players. Mine, I've got it, it's mine. And about that time, the ball came rolling down. And about that time, it hit right in his glove and fell out. The coach and the player said, Charlie Brown, you blockhead, what in the world are you doing out there? Why didn't you catch the ball? Lucy, Peppermint Patty, and all the rest, what are you doing? You know what Charlie Brown said? Charlie Brown said, well, I just got to looking at the ball, and I got to thinking about all the balls I've dropped in the past. I thought about all the baseballs and balls I've dropped in the past, and the past got in my eyes. In other words, I couldn't get over the past. Wait a minute. I'm looking at some folks today that's hard to get over your past. I hear somebody say, Pastor, I used to read my Bible every day, but I stopped reading my Bible. The past has gotten your eyes. Well, I hear somebody saying, you know, I used to pray, and prayer used to be a vital part of my life, but for some reason or another, I've kind of just gotten slack in the area of prayer. Who is it that God is speaking to today? Right now, my marriage used to be solid, and we loved each other. We prayed with each other. We prayed for our children. But now we're not praying anymore. How many today need to get with God and say, God, the past has gotten my eyes? How many parents would say, you know, I used to think I knew all the answers about raising children. 20 things that children ought to do. And then by the time they get about 17, 18, it's narrowed down to about 2 things, all right? But I used to know all this stuff about raising a family, but my past has gotten my eyes. Some of us are becoming ineffective because we can't move on from the past. How many know that Paul the Apostle said, we're to forget those light things that are behind, reaching forward to what the things which are before us. What about the past? You say, but man, I used to have this bad habit, and I just it just keeps cropping up over and over. I can't seem to get over it. I've had a bad attitude, and I can't seem to be thankful. Today, God is saying, you need to change your heart. You need a new direction. I'm glad to tell you that we serve a God that says, I won't remember your sin anymore when you confess it. Amen. He said, I'll put it behind my back. I'll put it in the depths of the sea. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. And he said in the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, I'll remember it no more. Hey, look, if you've been forgiven, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb and you've trusted in Jesus, and even on a daily basis, if you and I are confessing our sins, as 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, you can play church all day long. You can play religious all day long, but there's no power. There's no anointing. There's no presence and peace with God. How many know that we need to have a change of heart? And today is a new day, and this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it today. There's some of us that say that need to say, God, I had failed in the past. I messed up in the past. I was once witnessing. I was once sharing my faith, but I've gotten busy. I've gotten sidetracked. I've gotten distracted on a whole lot of things that are going around me. But God, today, I want to have a turnaround. I need a change of heart. And the church said, amen. I'm not praying for my grandchildren like I used to. Well, first base. But we got to go to first base before we get to what? Second base. That's right. We got to go to first base before we go to second base. And by the way, it's not too late. Some of you, wait a minute. I'm getting somewhere. I'm going somewhere. Some of you today, you're not happy. Why not? Because you're not where God wants you. And you know deep down in your heart that until you get that thing right, you can try everything in the world. You can make all the money in the world. You can have all the pleasure and popularity in the world. But if you don't have the Lord Jesus and peace with God, what good is it? Peace with God is worth more than $1 million. Yea, more than $10 million. Somebody say amen. Do you have peace today? Are you experiencing the presence of God? First base is turning from, but turning to. And Paul said, you turn to God. A lot of people tell me every once in a while, they say, preacher, I quit drinking, and I quit smoking, or I quit drinking, or I quit doing this and that. Well, that's good, and I'm glad for you. But not what have you quit doing. The question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's one thing to say no to drugs, but let the devil fill it up with something else. But it's another thing to say no to drugs and say yes to Jesus. Don't just say no to drugs. Don't just say, I quit this and that. If you don't turn to God, if you don't get right with God, the devil will be sure to fill it up with something else. But I'm glad, thank God, when Jesus comes in, the devil's got to go out. Amen. Well, when you get to first base, what do? You got to go to second base. If you expect to hit a home run to heaven, first base, have you gone to first base? Has there been a change? Has there been a time in your life? Are you where God wants you? Well, you say, I'm saved. I just want to ask you a personal question. Have you been baptized? Why hadn't you been baptized? What's the deal? Boy, that's basic. That's basic. I mean, that's just basic. I mean, you know, we can't really expect the blessings of God until we obey the Lord. I mean, that's just very basic Christianity. Well, what else? We go to first base. Secondly, we go to second base. First, we got to go to first base. Then we go to second base. Well, what is second base? Hey, I'm going to camp here for a moment. Notice verse 9 again. Paul said, you turn to God from idols, but I like the next part. Don't miss it. Please look at it. He said, to serve. You turned from idols to God. Why did you turn from idols to God? Hear me. Paul said, the Spirit of God wrote and said, to serve the living God. To serve the living and true God. Look at the last part of verse 9. I want you to see it now. Everybody hold up your Bible or look at your Bible, please. Look at this. Don't miss this. Verse 9. You turn from idols, the last part, to serve the living and true God. Let's say that together. To serve the living and true God. One more time. To serve the living and true God. Some of you aren't saying it. Say it again. To serve. Are you doing that? You know our biggest problem? I'll tell you our biggest problem from serving God. Serving self. I don't have time for God. I'm doing this, I'm doing this. You know, we got to make time for God. By the way, if you want the blessings of God, that's the very motive for serving the Lord. Jesus said, if you want to be great, learn to be a servant. Learn to serve the Lord. Tell me, are you serving the Lord? Are you where God wants you to be? Yeah, it's one thing to say no to sin, and it's one thing to turn from some of those things and turn to God, but you turn to God to serve Him. Jesus said, if you want to, you know, He said, example, said, I've washed the disciples' feet, now you go and do likewise. I'm going to tell you something. I met a lady a long time ago, it's been about 20 years ago. She had been defrosting her refrigerator. It's one of them old-time refrigerators, you know, kind that builds up ice. How many remember those days? Can I get an amen? You know, she did like most people do, got an ice pick. It was caked up with ice and, you know, it wasn't these frost-free. It's got a defroster and a heating element. It does it automatically every 6 hours, every 8 hours, every 10 hours, or every 12 hours, whatever the timer is set on. Nonetheless, the ice begins to build up, and therefore you have to defrost it manually. That is, you have to turn it off and defrost it. Well, she was out there defrosting it with an ice pick. How many know that's not good? An ice pick, chopping away, and some water got on the floor while she was defrosting in her refrigerator. She slipped on that water and broke her hip. Not good. But I remember visiting that particular lady. She was well up in her 80s. Here's what she said to me. Don't miss this. Here's what she said to me. I tell you what, older people can tell you some stuff, and you better listen. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot going on, but it does us good to hang around some older people. They're looking back on their life. They're seeing where they messed up. Or they're seeing some of the happiest times of their life. You know what she told me? I'll never forget it. She looked right at me and she said, Pastor, she said, the happiest days of my life were when I was serving God. I said, really? You know what it convicted me? You know why it convicted me? Same reason it's going to convict you right now. I'm not going to say you do this, but probably you do. Don't raise your hand. How many complain sometimes about serving God? Well, we got Vacation Bible School. It's going to be Sunday through Thursday night. By the way, we need some workers. I don't know about, you know, Tuesday, giving up my Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And by the way, you know, revival meeting. You know, giving up some stuff. Hey, if you want the blessings of God, Jesus gave His very best. Jesus died for me. I'm going to stand before Him. He's given me a gift to serve Him. And there will be crowns awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. You know what we're going to do with those crowns? We're going to place them at the feet of Jesus. I didn't say this. The Bible says this. John said in Revelation, this is what's going to take place. Question, are you where God wants you? Maybe you hadn't really been happy. Like this lady said, I was the happiest I've ever been when I was serving God. How many know that when you sit idle in the four walls of your house and watch television all the time, it can depress you? And I'm convinced in my own personal life, now we need some downtime, I'm not saying we don't, but if that's all of our life consists of, there's missing out, there's joy, there's happiness, there's fulfillment when we're serving the Lord. And so, second base is serving the Lord. Are you doing that? You serving God right now? Right where you ought to be? Well, have you gone to second base? Speaking of second base, I was preaching 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, the 1st of May at a church down in Palakuk, Florida, Barden area, Providence Baptist Church. I believe your dad pastored there, didn't you? Didn't he, Vicky? Or somewhere down in that area. Anyway, Providence Baptist Church. As I was sharing at homecoming service, I finished the message, and about that time, at the end of the service, a young man, stayed back, and he said, "I need to talk with you." And I said, "All right, I'll be glad to talk with you." His name was Billy. Many of you probably don't know Billy, like I didn't know Billy. And after we dismissed the service, Billy and I walked out into the front yard of the church. Billy told me this. He said, "Pastor, you didn't know this, but I'm a pastor right now." And he said, "Just about a month ago, I resigned my church." Billy's a young man in his 30s. He said, "It's the first church I've ever had the privilege of pastoring." I said, "Really, Billy? Tell me about it." And you know what he told me? He said, "I was mad. I was angry at somebody in the church. And I decided that I wanted to just get out of there." I said, "Really?" I could tell Billy the Lord had spoken to his heart and dealt with him. And then he said this. He said, "The man that I was angry at or mad at in the church, a week later, he ended up in the hospital." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yep." I said, "Well, tell me more. What happened then?" He said, "Me and him got things right." I said, "Praise the Lord." And then he said, "And you know what? He died." I said, "Really? I'm sorry to hear that." And then Billy said this. He said, "But today God has shown me I can't keep running from God. I know I was happy, and I know that this is God's will for my life to serve Him. And so today the Lord showed me that I need to get back in the battle." Maybe there's somebody you today. Once upon a time you were making a difference. Once upon a time you were busy about the Master's business. Maybe once upon a time you were occupying until Jesus came. It's easy in this old world. It's easy in, by the way, it's easy in this church. And all churches I know, to serve the Lord and then something happened. How many like bananas? Y'all like bananas? I like bananas. And have you ever seen bananas grow on a tree? Have you? Down in South America, down in Guyana and other places in Philippines and overseas, you see bananas growing on trees. But notice, look back and thank God, look forward and trust God, look around and serve God. Yes, I'm going back to the bananas in a moment. Serving God is the greatest adventure in the world. I believe that. If you believe that, say amen. I believe that. It is. And by the way, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. I can say that for sure. The more I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven. My life overflows. The longer what? I serve Him. I can say that for sure. Can you? But here's the truth. Some people, the longer they serve a Lord, they lose their sweetness. There's some of you today, you've lost your sweetness. I'm going to go back to the example of the banana. You ever seen a banana on a tree that's green? Have you ever seen a green banana? We pick the green bananas, and I don't like green bananas. Maybe you do, but I don't like green bananas. They don't taste good. They don't have that sweetness to them. They're not ripe. But you know what? I like when that banana begins to turn to this one's a little older banana, but it turns a little yellow. Man, once it turns that golden yellow, boy, you can peel that thing, and man, I like, but it's got a lot of potassium in it. And fat, too. Somebody say amen. Anyway, but you know what? If you let that banana sit and sit and sit and sit, you know what happens to it? It'll turn black. Man, that thing will... And have you ever eaten a banana like this? Man, you peel that banana and it's mushy. You bite into it and it's like, what is this? Can I tell you something? When you serve the Lord, when you first get saved, get Jesus in, and He changes you, kind of like a green banana. Man, you're just so excited. You do anything, and sometimes you do some things wrong. Amen. But you're so excited about it. You're young and you're green in the Lord. I love to see people when they first get born again, how hungry and how thirsty they are for God. But you know what? It's after you begin to serve the Lord for a little while, and after you grow in the Lord a little while, God sweetens you up. Right? You begin to change colors. He sweetens you up. And hey, is there anybody around here that you know of, you just like to be around them because they got the love of God in them? You know anybody like that? You just like to be around them. I'm not talking about counterfeit. They're the same thing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But you know what, beloved? If we're not careful, when you serve God and you go through some experiences where sometimes there's misunderstandings, sometimes there's hurt feelings, sometimes there's things that go wrong, and you know what? Like this black banana, people, Christians can turn that way. We lose our sweetness. Even though you still come to church, people can just see it a mile away. They can be around you just for a little while, and you've lost your sweetness. Paul said this, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And in other words, we're free, sweet fragrance when you serve the Lord. And when, watch this. You know, how many of y'all remember Brother Phil Phillips? Remember Brother Phil? Brother Phil's up in the nursing home right now. I was talking with Jimmy Wilson at the Luther Rice graduation. We were talking about Brother Phil. He and Brother Phil were buddies. And anyway, Brother Phil used to come up to me and say this. You know, if you serve the Lord any length of time, and I'm not talking about hit and miss, and I'm talking about being steady at it, right? Thank God. The Lord saved us. Man, I hadn't got over that yet. I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God what I'm used to be. But he said about, Brother Phil would come up to me. Brother Phil would say this. I'll never forget it. We'd be going through something. If you serve God for any length of time, you know that there's people and there's problems. Right? But if you're not careful, you can get an old bitter heart, a bitter spirit. After going through problems and people and things and people don't do this and that and do this and that. And next thing you know, an old Brother Phil would come up to me and he'd say this. He'd say, Brother Pastor. I'd say, how you doing, Brother Phil? You know what he'd tell me. Well, I'm like a loose tooth. I'm just hanging in there. He loved to say that. But you know what else he'd say? He'd say, Brother Randy. He said, you know, serving God is not always easy. And he'd stop. And I'd say, you're right. But then he'd look at me and say, but it's always rewarding. Always rewarding. How many can attest today that serving the Lord is the best thing that's ever happened to you? I know that Jesus is the very best thing that ever happened to me, and I could not do enough. I don't feel legalistic about serving God. I'm not trying to earn my way to heaven. No, it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I serve the Lord not because I feel like I have to, but thank God, God's given me a want to serve the Lord. You say, but Pastor, you're a pastor. Even before I was a pastor, even before I was paid on staff, the Lord put a hunger in my heart to serve, to teach, to Sunday school, prison ministry, whatever I could do. I couldn't get over the fact Jesus Christ has made a difference in my life, and he's made the difference in your lives, and he is worthy to be served. He really is. Have you turned this color? Kind of like an old lemon. Somebody said people come to church on Sunday morning, they look like they drank a gallon of prune juice before they got here. God help us. God help us. Are you still sweet? You are. Many of you are. I love to be around you. I love to talk with you. I get encouragement. I get vitamin B12, a shot when I'm around you. God help us to stay sweet. God help us to stay humble. God help us to love the Lord and love each other until one day we get to heaven. God do it for Jesus' sake. And then you got to go to third base if you're going to get to home plate. Go to first base, second base. You turn to God from idols. That's first base. Second base, to serve the living and true God. He's not dead. Hallelujah. He's alive. But that leads us to third base. How do you get to third base? My goal is to get to home plate. And home is heaven. How do I get to third base? Go to third base. Notice 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Notice what Paul said. He said in the same words, paragraph, next verse, to serve the living and true God. And then he said, to wait for his Son from heaven. To wait for his Son from heaven. Really? That's what we're supposed to do? Yep. That's how you get to third base. Wait for his Son from heaven. By the way, you know what this wait is? This word wait. You know what it indicates? It doesn't mean just half-hearted waiting. It means rather wait and keep on waiting and keep on waiting and keep on waiting. Here is the illustration that could be used. How many know how exciting? Young people, how many of y'all like Christmas? All right, I'm not going to get you any gift if you don't like Christmas this next Christmas. I'm just kidding. Hey, how many get excited about Christmas? And adults do too. How many got family that come over to your house and you go over to their house at Christmas time? It's a fun time. It's a family time, right? Most people get together with their family and then have to pay for it all year long. Somebody say amen. No, but anyway, and here's the deal. Supposing your family called you and said, you're coming? Yeah, I'm on my way. Well, when do you think you're going to be here? I don't know. It's Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve, the day before Christmas. It's December 24th. When are you going to be here? Well, it looks like it's going to be maybe around 6-ish or somewhere around there, 6 o'clock. All right, I'll wait for you. All right, we'll be there. 6 o'clock rolls around, and guess what? Your family hadn't showed up. Question, do you go to bed? I said, do you go to bed? No, you don't go to bed. What do? You stay up. You keep waiting for them. All right? The clock keeps ticking. Click, tick, 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 tick. And the next thing you know, it's not 6 anymore. It's 7 o'clock. They're still not there. Are you going to wait for them? Are you going to wait up for them? Are you going to go to bed? Are you going to go to bed? No. You're going to do what? You're going to wait for them. And then it's 8 o'clock. Do you say, well, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to think I'm going to go on going to bed? No, you wait for them. They don't show up at 6. They don't show up at 7. They don't show up at 8. You're waiting for them. You're anticipating them coming. You're looking forward to seeing them again. That is the picture of verse 10. We're to wait for his Son from heaven. That is, Jesus has not come back yet, but I believe with all my heart he's coming again. Amen. And he'll be here very soon. One day we're going to see the King. Yes, we are. And we're to wait and keep on waiting. He hadn't come yet. No, these that predict he's coming tomorrow and coming May the 14th and April 23rd and September 23rd, they're wrong. No man knows the hour, only the Father in heaven. Jesus said it, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Two shall be in the field, one to be taken, one to be left. Two women grinding to get the meal, one to be taken, one to be left. Be also ready, for you think not the hour the Son of Man comes. Yes, as in the days of Noah and as in the days of Lot. That's, by the way, Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. Luke chapter 17, verse 28. As in the days of Lot, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. But we're to watch. We're to look up. Luke chapter 21, Jesus said it this way. He said, they shall fall by the edge of the sword and be taken captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles. And there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear for the things which have come upon the earth. Then shall the Son of God come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. When all these things come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Look up. Let's say that together. Look up. Say it with me. Look up. Are you tired of the down look? Look up. Our redemption draws nigh. Are you waiting for the coming of the Lord? And then number 4. We got to go to first base before we can get to second base. We got to go to second base before we go to third base. The object is not to be stranded on third base, right? The object is what? To get home. To get home. Home run. How to hit a home run. And number 4, go to home plate. How can we go to home plate? If you look at verse 10, you'll find out. Verse 10, notice what it says. It says, verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom God raised from the dead, even Jesus, look at the last part, and delivered us from what? And delivered us from what? The wrath to what? The wrath to come. How many believe there's a wrath coming? I'm telling you, that's why you ought to get saved today. That's why you ought to get Jesus to come and save you from your sin. That's why you need to call upon the Lord today, because there's a wrath coming. God's going to bring judgment. Today we're living in a day of grace, but tomorrow it's going to be a time of judgment. And don't think that just you're going to get there, and don't think that you're going to do good works to get there. Has there been a time and point in your life when you said, God, I've sinned. I know I'm a sinner. I need mercy. I don't need your judgment. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. I want you to save me. If thou confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can they call upon the name of the Lord whom they've not heard? How can they hear except for a preacher? How can they preach except for they be sent? How it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Has there been a time in your life when you called upon the name of the Lord? Has there been a change in your life? Tell me, when did that happen? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? If you think, I hope so, or maybe so, you are not sure. This is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not the life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I can't think of a better time than right now to get this thing right with the Lord. Where are you at right now? First base? Have you turned from and turned to? Well, not really. Are you serving yourself or serving? Are you at second base? Are you serving God? Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. And there's a wrath coming, the wrath of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17. I wish I had time to go into it, but I'm going to just bypass that part other than saying this. Where are you at? Where are you at in your relationship with God? You want to hit a home run? Some of you today, you say, Pastor, I hadn't really nailed that down. That's the most important thing in all life. Graduates, congratulations. But what does man profit to gain the whole world, lose his own soul? How many would say today, you know, I haven't really been serving the Lord. I'm at first base, yes. But today, God has shown me I've been living for myself. Today's a new day. Somebody would say, you know, I know Jesus is coming. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Where are you at today? You ready to go home? When your time comes, are you going to make it home? Let's stand together, can we?